Okay, we'll begin with chapter 10, verse 1. I'm going to read it first. Not a very long chapter, just 20 verses. But very interesting book. Very interesting. Very enlightening. Okay. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh you, even in your mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that believe upon all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest to them that asked not after me. But to Israel he said, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. There's some good information in here, especially in the translational errors, which we will discuss. Back to the first verse. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel. The word Israel is wrong. The word Israel here is not the Hebrew word Israel. It's the Hebrew, the Greek word autos. It's a pronoun. The word, it says, to God for not Israel, but for them. And you'd have to go all the way back up into about the 30th verse of the 9th chapter to see that this context is flowing through. He was talking about Israel, but he did not use the word Israel. He used the word autos, which is a pronoun speaking of Israel. They just pushed it aside and put the word Israel there. And then it says, in order that they might be saved. Well, that's incorrect, because it should say, not in order that, and the word might shouldn't even be there. Take the word might clear out of there. It should be in order that they be not saved, but delivered. Soteria is the word, should be delivered. Verse 2 goes on and says, because I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. He said, hey, they got the zeal of God. And today it's no different, because everything that was written back then was for our learning and instruction. So he said, they have a zeal for God, and the churches today have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And the word knowledge here is not just knowledge, but a full discernment of knowledge. You can have partial discernment of knowledge, and all you do is get in trouble. Huh? What was that? Yeah. I mean, if you don't have the full knowledge, you can make statements on things and think you understand it without the rest of that knowledge. And that's why he's saying the church today doesn't have the knowledge. They have partial knowledge. because they're satisfied with that, not wanting the rest of it. I want everything I can get. Gets me in trouble a lot, but that's okay. I still want the best. I want all of it. Verse 3 goes on and says, the first word should be because, it's gar, because they being ignorant. Now listen, he said they were ignorant. He didn't say they were stupid. Ignorant's not a bad word. Ignorant just means that you don't have enough information to make the correct decision, like we were just talking about in the verse before. They didn't have complete knowledge. They didn't have the full knowledge. So they were a little ignorant of God's righteousness. And they were going about, or they were seeking to establish their own righteousness. That's humanistic views. They were doing their own thing because they didn't understand God. So they just filled in the blanks. Their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So you see, there's some things here we have to submit to God. We don't always understand everything right away. And God's not going to tell you everything right away. He's going to tell you in faith, you do what I ask you to do. If you do that, something will come. The understanding will come. He doesn't explain everything to you up front. God don't have to. He's not bound by rules like we are. Okay, verse 4. Because Christ is the end of the law into righteousness. That word for should be into. It's a Greek word eis. So it says, because Christ is the end of the law into righteousness to everyone that believes. So he's saying, under the law, and the church world today is under the law because they say you have to be baptized, you have to believe this way, you have to worship in this way, you have to take communion every Sunday, you have to wear your hair a certain way, you have to wear certain clothes, and those are still laws, rules and regulations, they're laws. And he said, if you want to come to the end of the law, okay, if you want to come to the end of the law, it's because you believe in what God said, not what man has come up with as an idea for you to do what they say. If you really believed in what the church teaches, what would you not give the church to keep you from going to that bad place they talk about? In my situation, if I believed in a hell that the church believes in, I would give them everything I own if they could keep me from going there. Everything I could beg, borrow, steal, I would do it to keep from going to that place that they tell about. I read a book years ago about a man who was believed, he was being led to execution to the gallows in England. They was going to hang him. And there was a preacher walking behind him reading from the scriptures. And he stopped and turned around and looked at that priest behind him and said, I don't believe any of that BS and neither do you. And the priest looked back at him and said, what do you mean? Well, how can you be so blasphemous? And he said, if you believed that there was a place that bad, how could you lay down at night and sleep in comfort knowing that someone's going to that place because you wasn't doing your job? And that started something turning in there. Did a little more research, what everybody needs to do. But anyway, the guy went on and got hanged, but he didn't believe in it, and he was right. I'm sure the priest probably didn't change a thing, but maybe he did. Let's hope he did. Okay, that was in verse 4, right? Mm-hmm. Say verse 5, he says, should be the same thing, because, instead of 4, because Moses described, or literally writes about, what it should say, Moses writes about the righteousness which is from the law, that the man which does those things shall live from them. So if I live by the law, that means I've got to obey everything they do. If you violated the law, does anybody know what the penalty of violating the law was in those days? Yeah. It was death. Okay, what you did, anything you did to violate the law was a death penalty. And today it's the same thing. If you live by the law, you'll die by the law. The book even says you're cursed living under the law. And Jesus said he fulfilled the law in Matthew 5:17. He said, I came not to destroy it, but to fulfill it. He fulfilled it, so it's no longer in effect anymore. So we don't have rules and regulations. The only law that we have now is what Jesus put in place was, love the Lord thy God with thy heart, soul, mind, and body, and love your neighbor as yourself. So it's a law of love. It's nothing about do's and don't do's. So, when it says there in that verse, fifth verse, it says that the man, and he's talking about, the word doesn't say man as it normally does if it's talking about an individual man, but it's talking about the carnal mind. It's talking about the man-faced person, the mind, the carnal thinking that does those things. If I live by the carnal, if I live by my carnal mind, I'm going to have to live through them, aren't I? Don't have any choice. But the righteousness which is from faith speaks on this wise, verse 6, say not in your heart, your mind, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ from above. Who is worthy to go up and bring Christ down? No man. And the next verse says, or who shall descend into the deep or the abyss, that is to say to bring Christ up from the dead. Can any of us raise somebody else from the dead? I've never seen it done. Never seen it done. But what saith it? What is he talking about? What saith it? The law. It's the law there. And we're talking about the law in the context here. It's in, and there's a scripture go with that, Deuteronomy 30:14. He says, but what saith the law, the word of Moses, the law, the word is nigh you, even in your mouth and in your heart. Where's it at? In your mind. That is the word of faith which we preach. The book says he wrote in your heart, in your mind, before the foundation of the world. So it's not about me teaching anybody anything. It's about me helping you to remember what God has already wrote in your heart. So it's not about me, is it? Didn't Jesus say in John 14:26, says, I'm going to go away and send another comforter to you, and he shall call all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said to you. See, truly today is not a teacher. It's a someone to help you remember. That's all it is. So you don't worship the man, you worship the Christ. Okay, verse 8. We finished that, didn't we? Verse 9.
You just
started. Oh, at the heart I stopped there, didn't I? That is the word of faith which we preach. Okay, he's talking about the word of faith we preach. That if you shall confess, or literally, the word confess is the word covenant. If you will covenant with your mouth, that means speak the words of the covenant with the Lord Jesus, and shall believe or have faith in your heart or mind that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be what?
Delivered.
The word is delivered. It is not saved. If he died on the cross before the foundation of the world for the salvation of the world, what can you add to it? How can I, if I say that I get saved today, then I just denied what God did with through his son. I denied the works of Christ on the cross. I'm denying the cross. I can't get saved today. He saved me. What I need now is delivered from my way of thinking into the mind of Christ.
Which is the law.
My way of thinking came from the law. I need to be delivered from that to the grace of the new covenant. Okay, verse 10. Because with the heart or the mind, now this blood pump in your chest doesn't think, does it? It doesn't speak, it doesn't remember, it doesn't do anything. It just pumps blood. It's just a muscle. But the mind, for with the mind, man believes into, not unto, but into righteousness, or literally the word should say justification. So I believe and that justifies me. He said, if you believed, you shall be delivered. That's justification. And with the mouth, confession, or literally covenant, is what it should say. This confession there is covenant also. With the mouth, covenant is made to what? Covenant is made to who? And literally it says, the deliverer, which is Christ. That word should say that that covenant is made with the mouth to your deliverer. Who are you talking to? The Christ. Not the man Jesus, but the Christ. Jesus said, don't worship me. Worship the Father. Worship the Spirit. Okay, verse 11 says, because the Scripture saith, all that believes, okay, into, not on, it's the Greek word eis there for that word on, And the Greek word eis means into. So if I believe into him, shall not be ashamed or disgraced. But I got to believe into. That means I changed my thinking from my thinking and just saying, I don't say I believe there's a Christ. I believe the same as he believes. I want that mind of Christ in me. And Paul wrote and said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Right? So I need that same thinking. You need that same thinking. It's not some freebie thing that they throw out there, just a bunch of words that don't mean nothing. This is powerful. The difference between on and into, because they're both prepositions, but they're different prepositions, changes the whole context. I don't believe that there is one. Yeah, I believe there is one, but I have to believe into him. Verse 12 goes on and says, because there is no difference, and that means there's no variation, there's no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. Now that blows the church world away today, because they think that the Jewish people are a special people. And if this book is written, and you understand that the whole book is written in parabolic language, it's written in symbols and types and shadows. Even the Jew themselves was only a manifestation in the natural of the spiritual. And didn't Paul write in Romans that a Jew is not one who is outward, whereas the circumcision is in the flesh, but a Jew is one inward, where the circumcision is of the heart, made of God and not of man. See, I can't be circumcised by a man. I can be circumcised by God. That changes the way I think. He changed my mind. See.
And you know, in that makes you think, because you know the church is always making fun of Jehovah's Witness because they're saying only 144,000 is going to make it. Well, look at the church. If they think the Jews are the only ones going to make it, why are they sitting in the church?
same story. You got to realize this book is, yes, there's things that happened, and he set those scenarios up so that he could set up the parables that he wrote in this book. Like Paul said, everything is written was written for our learning and instruction. All those parables were set up for that. And his disciples came to him one morning and said, why do you always speak in parables in Matthew 13, 34, and 35? And he said, because it's for you, the children of the kingdom, to understand, and the rest not yet. It's just for the ones right now. The rest of them, they'll get it when it's time. It's all about timing. And then there in 12, the last part says, because the same Lord over all, over who? Over all. That's everybody. Is rich to all that call upon his name. And that really is not what it really says. Let me see what I wrote there. Okay, yeah, I see what it is now. He said, he is Lord over all, is rich unto all that are surnamed. Do you know what surname means? No. Do you remember Peter was called a rock? He was called Cephas, which means a rock. He was first called something, I can't think of the word now, where he was a reed.
Simon.
Huh?
Simon.
Yeah, he was called Simon, which means a reed. And then he was called Peter, which means a rock. He was surnamed. He was changed from one nature and character. The name means nature and character, the word anoma. So he was called this. This is what he started out as, a reed. He was blown about by every wind of doctrine. And then God came into his life and made him a rock. And actually, it's Petros, and it means a piece of a rock. And Peter wasn't saying he was the rock, which is Christ, is referred to as Christ, but he's a piece of that rock. And that's exactly what we are. We're a piece of that rock. And when he changes what's in our head to the thinking process, we become and understand that we are a piece of that rock. And that's all by the nature change. That's what surname means. So he changes our nature and character. Do you remember the story about, was it Abraham? No, Jacob. When Jacob was sleeping and he wrestled with God all night, until morning, but he was wrestling, and when the day came, you know, daylight came, he latched on and said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. But he was called Jacob until he wrestled with God all night. And when the day star rose, the sun, the Christ, rose in his understanding, then he called him what? Israel, which is peace. See, so we wrestle in our natural state, we wrestle and wrestle and wrestle with all this stuff in darkness. That's what the night means, when he wrestled all night. And in that darkness, he wrestled, and whenever that came to an end, when the Christ rose up in him, he changed his nature from being Jacob, the conniver, the trickster, the supplanter, to peace. See? And only God did that. It wasn't what he did. He was fighting God all night. But God took over and did it. It's the same with Abram. Abram was that until God changed his name to Abraham. See? So, all the disciples, almost all the disciples, you're going to look, their name changed from one place to another because God dealt with them. Their name changed somewhere in there. Most all of them had name changes. Huh? Saul turned into Paul. That's another one. But there's all kinds of examples of them where God changed their name because their nature changed, their character changed. Okay. What did I leave off with? 12? Okay. Okay. Verse 13. Because all who will or wish to call upon the Lord... and it literally what it says, call upon name. All who wish to be surnamed is what it should say. So if you have a desire to have your nature and character changed, guess what? You shall be what? Delivered. The word sozo. You'll be delivered. See, everybody thinks it's to be saved. Well, if he died before the foundation to save you, do you think it's finished when he said on the cross when he died, it is finished? What else do you have to add to that? Why would I want to go back and do something that he has already done for me? I'm actually trampling the word of God underfoot whenever I don't accept the work that he finished for me. So verse 13, and we'll read it again. All who wish to be surnamed of the Lord shall be, what? Delivered. And verse 14 goes on and says, then, how then shall they be surnamed in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And then the next verse has to go right along with this and just tie it together. And how shall they preach? And literally it preached divine, the word actually says, how shall they preach divine truth? Now there's people preaching every day of the week, 24 hours a day around the world. But are they preaching divine truth? See? Obviously the answer is no, because divine truth will change you. Is that not true? Divine truth will change you. At some point in your life when it's time. You know, the seed of God is just like a seed put in the earth. That's all the parables. The natural teaches you about the spiritual. A seed can go in the ground, and even the scientists have proven that seeds can lay in the ground up to 20 years before they germinate. I heard things preached at me when I was a child, and it took 30, 40 years before they finally took hold in me what it was. It's God's timing. Some sow and some water, but God gives the increase. That's according to the scripture. So, not to worry about that. But how shall they preach divine truth unless they be sent? The word they be sent is the Greek word apostello. And it means where we get our word apostle. And that means to be sent. An apostle sent with a directive, a divine directive. See, most people preaching today are doing it because it's a good, secure vocation to make a lot of money. There's a lot of millionaire preachers. And that's what they want to do. Well, that's what they want to do. Go for it. That's no concern of mine. But that's not what it's about. And I bet you couldn't find a preacher in this country that would say he was not called of God. What do you think? You think you could find one that would say he wasn't called? That'd be slitting his throat financially.
He'd be an extra.
He'd be killing himself, and he couldn't do anything after that. So they're all going to claim it, but who's going to bring forth fruit in that? See? It's not about this flesh stuff. It's about the truth that sets you free up here. I know a lot of people. Well, the one that lived up in Franklin Furnace. had the restaurant.
Mike.
Yeah. I knew who he was. I just wasn't saying the name. But he come to me and told me, he says, I don't really think I've been called. I said, then what are you doing? Go back to your restaurant, man, where you're supposed to be. He didn't do it, and he died. What? Wasn't very long after they got cancer and died. But, you know, he told me, he said, I don't think I'm called to this. And I said, well, why'd you do it in the first place?
Because the people called for him.
It was this. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, well.
He had a building, so they appointed him.
Yeah, they appointed him. Yeah. Okay, verse 15, we finish this up. We got to, they'd be sent there, the apostello. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of the peace. Peace. That word beautiful is wrong. You know what the word says? How timely. How timely. That means when God sends them, he sends them at the correct time. You know, the truth we're speaking is not for everybody in the world. It's got to be heard in time. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, 20 and 21, Christ the first fruits, and then every man in his own order. That means there's a time for every person to come to God. But it's God's choice of when they come. It's not me saying, I need to get saved. I don't even know what that's about until he comes and tells me about it. Do I? I don't know anything about it. I was living my life in the world, doing anything I wanted to do. It was all about me until he took over. And, you know, I wrestled with him for a long time about it. I didn't give it up easy. And most people don't. They wrestle and fight with God. I did. I lost, of course. There's no winning against God.
He
Well, I won in the long run because he changed the way I understand things. But I'm saying I lost the battle of trying to outdo God, trying to do it my way. Didn't work. So he won. But how beautiful or how timely are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now look what he said. How timely are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. What's that got to do with burning and tormenting people in hell for eternity? It has nothing to do with it. And bring glad tidings of good things. Good news. The gospel says, the word gospel in the Greek means good news. What part of good news is tormenting and torturing and, what's the other word I'm trying to say? Tormenting and torturing people for eternity. What part of good is about that? There's nothing good about it. There's no good news about it. The morning that Jesus was born, the angels were singing to the shepherds as they watched over their flocks and said, today a Savior is born to the world. And he'll bring good news of glad tidings. Same thing being said here. There's nothing bad about it. He didn't say he was going to come and cut your head off, did he? Torment you, torture you, or anything.
Huh?
No, he didn't come and say, I got you now, but you're in trouble. No, he said, I'm going to bring you some good news. I forgive you. Verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, who has believed our report? That's a direct quote Paul wrote right out of Romans. Out of Isaiah 53:1. You know, hey, that's just the way it is. Paul, all Paul was doing, and I've heard Paul accused of writing his own gospel, but all Paul did was he gave a revelation of what was already written in the Old Testament. Everything Paul wrote, you can go right back to the Old Testament in one place or another and find what he wrote. He gave you an understanding of what was written in the letter of the word in the Hebrew. That's all he did. Because Paul was the first one after Jesus to truly walk out the gospel. He was the man of the time right then. He was the man that had it then. I'd like to sit down and talk with that cat for a while. Really would. I'd like to talk to him. Someday we will. Okay, where to leave off at there? Okay. So then, faith comes not by, but through or from hearing. Faith comes from hearing. I have to hear something. Now, he's not talking about my words reverberating in your eardrums. That's not what it's about. If I say something that is from Dave, it don't mean anything. But if you hear the Spirit of God reverberating in your eardrums when I speak, that's God. You're either going to say amen to it or reject it, whatever you do. But it's God's voice, not mine. It's only the Spirit of God speaking that makes any difference and changes in you. The natural man can't change you. I can't change you. Only the Spirit of God can do that. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by or through or from the Word. Okay? And that means the utterance or the Word of God. And that word God at the end is not literally what it should say. It's not theos. It's Christos. So what should it be? Christ. So it's the Word of Christ. And that's the Spirit, right? And God is Spirit. But the word theos isn't there. They just chose to write God instead of Christ, what it should be. But I say, verse 18, have they not heard? Sure they have.
They just forgot.
They all heard it, but they forgot. Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth. What are we made out of?
Earth.
And their words to the ends of the world. Now, it said their word went to the ends of the world. Is there an end to a circle? That's not what it means. It says to the ends of the earth. And it literally left the word out. It's the end of the inhabited earth. And that's not talking about a certain continent and nobody living anywhere beyond that. What are we?
Earth.
This is an inhabited earth.
Ego.
No. This is an inhabited earth. Human beings are made from the earth. And the Spirit of God lives in there, doesn't He? Okay, so that's an inhabited earth. God dwells in each and every one of us. Is that correct? So this is inhabited earth. So the Word went to all the inhabited earth. It didn't go to that dirt out there in the yard. It didn't go to the dirt out there on that side of us, or the dirt underneath us. It went to your earth. See, and that seed, He said, in Isaiah, He said, my Word went into all the earth and said, it comes down as rain, covers the earth, and my word will not return unto me void. God put a word out and it went to every human being on the face of the earth, and in the time that He called, didn't He say, talk about timely fashion right here, about at the right time? In the time designated by the Spirit of God, you'll come to your Father. Pure and simple. It's not about preachers going out there and beating you in the head and scaring you to death so you come there so you won't go to hell. That's not what it's about. It's about living your life and learning. Everything we do in our lives, I've done many things that I'm not proud of, but the things that I did, right and wrong, made me and brought me to where I am today. Isn't that right? If I try to eliminate the things I did wrong, I would still not be where I am today. If I never did something wrong, I would never know it was wrong. I would never change the way I think about it. But when I do something wrong and know that it's wrong, I can say, won't do that no more. Now, when I was younger, I'd be a little more bullheaded and just go right back at it again. But as I've got a little older and wised up a little bit, I know not to do that now. And I know that mistakes are a gift of God. I can learn from them things. There's mercy and grace for that. I don't have to worry about it. My God loves me. My Father loves me. He loves every one of us. But we got to understand that. If I love my children, I'm not going to condemn them, beat them up. I've got to discipline them, though. And He will discipline us and correct us. But He's not going to torture us and torment us for eternity in some place that the religious world made up. They even borrowed it from Egypt anyway. Okay? Verse 19. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation. The word foolish there is unintelligent and wicked. That sounds like a Gentile nation. That kind of sounded like me at one time. Unintelligent and wicked. I thought I knew a lot of things, but as I got older, I realized how little I knew. He said, I will use them to anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and said, I was found not of them. This Greek word for of here, they mistranslated again. This word is en, the Greek word en, which is the English word in. He said, I was found in them. How much difference does that mean by them or of them?
A lot.
Major difference. Because he said, I was found in them. Because he's in all of humanity, whether they know it or not. I didn't know God was in me when I started. It took a lot of years for God to crack through this hard head and get my understanding where he wanted it. And I was hard-headed, and all them knocks finally softened it up. He said, so I was found in them that sought me not. I'm going to be the first to tell you, I wasn't seeking God when he got hold of me. Ask my wife. I was not looking that direction. It come up and sucker punched me. I didn't know where it came from.
Thank God that
he did. Yeah. Well, I'm glad, but I wasn't seeking it. And he just got me. And he said, I was made manifest, literally the Greek word is apparent. I was made apparent to them that asked not after me. I wasn't asking after God. I thought, by what the church had always taught me, I was going to hell in a handbag and didn't make any difference. I figured most of my friends would be there too. That's just the way I thought about it. But I was made apparent to them that he was made apparent to me and I didn't ask after him. Verse 21 goes on and says, but to Israel he said. Israel is not talking about the nation of Israel. Israel is talking about the spiritual Israel, the heavenly Jerusalem that came from above. Yeah. And Israel is in you, the Christ. See, people don't understand. They think we're still talking about that nation over there, and it's not about that nation. God is a spirit, and God lives in his people. And we are all, the book says in Psalm 82:6, John 10:34, we are all children of the Most High God. So if we're his children, God dwells in us, correct?
Doesn't that go back to that surname you were talking about?
Sure.
We were all Jacob.
We were all Jacob at one time, and he changed us to Israel.
Right.
Okay. As he, in every man in his own order, though. Everyone's not there yet, but that's we're on our journey there. Okay? He said, but to Israel, and that's the spiritual Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched forth my hands to a disobedient, and that means a willfully and perversely disbelieving person. Hey, I didn't have any respect for God when I was in that realm of my life. I just thought it was live and die, and that's the end of it. I didn't believe in anything, really. He said, I've stretched my hands to this disobedient, this willfully perverse and disbelieving people, and a gainsaying. And the word gainsaying here means to refuse to have anything to do with him. I didn't want anything to do with God. How many people in our younger years truly wanted to follow after God? We had no knowledge of God at all. We just thought we were just here to have a good time. Strong survive and the weak die. That's what we were told. And that's about the way the church teaches it. But anyway... It's not true. Any questions about what I've said so far this morning?